Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about episode 2 of Oman, the Emirate of Oman. It's in the Arabian Peninsula. Look, it's hard to say. The peninsula, you always think, comes out to a spot, but Arabia is sort of this big square thing coming out. And I'm reading it. Look, I have to say that there's some words I've seen before. My pronunciation is awful. And look, if you really seriously wanted to learn about this, I would go and read the article. Then you'd have to listen through my pronunciation. Then, of course, if you're just listening to this as some sort of random thing, that's great. It's a great way to hear things. So you might be understand. A lot of people listen while doing some cooking, so congratulations. Make sure if the meal doesn't turn out, you can blame me. So, yeah, isn't that a beautiful act to be to blame someone else cookbook? It's a dreadful recipe. Great ingredients, great skill, dreadful recipe. Okay, let's go up. Now, the thing is that there was natives there. Then they had Arab invaders, people coming in. Wrote history. Seems to be a bit of genocide. And then his land's adopted, and then they go to the centre of Basra, which is in Iraq, up around the Euphrates. It makes sense. Basra. I do understand the road to Basra and the horror. Retreating Manual Basra's just so the people of expanded to Basra, expanded in Basra, became very famous and rich, and sort of sent to move to Basra. Oman, and Hadi is the person that's there. And the first imam eight, so that's where they elect. It's believed to have been was elected. The scholars claim that Jana bin Abadan served as Wali governor under the Amir dynasty, and they identified the Inamet. Was the first elected imam. Bahrain was sort of like the wild child of Arabia. So the bad guys were Bahrain. The bad guys from Bahrain. Whoa. And frankincense is a top of the wood. Frankincense is a tree. You can imagine now if we would genetically engineer a chip. Into their control along the way up to Sohar in the north and down to Sur in the southeast. Other historians argue that the dynasty ended after AD 1435. It's between the dynasty and the Haru arose, which led to the Iman. So, the Iman, the Portuguese colonization, that would be fun. Gee. Portugal was fun. It didn't really strike me as a great culture, though. A decade after Vasco da Gama's successful voyage around Cape of Good Hope to India in 1497 to 98, the Portuguese arrived in Oman and occupied Muscat for a 143-year period from 1704 to 1650. The need for an outpost to protect their sea lands, the Portuguese built a fortified cities where remnants of the colony architecture style still exist. An Ottoman fleet captured Muscat in 1552 during the fight for control of the Persian Gulf and the Indian Ocean. That is pretty amazing. And it's sort of the Ottoman Empire is that ancient. And it sort of makes sense because Britain, that was in 1552, and this is the time of Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth was up to 1604. We know this from, I know this from looking at the writings of Bacon. So all this is during the Renaissance, and you had just amazing things happening at this stage. The Portuguese, this is an amazing history. The Ottoman Turks temporarily captured Muscat from the Portuguese in 1581 and held it until 15. During the 1750s, the Omanis were really Yoruba Imams, which I really think, having a democratic history is sort of pretty amazing. And became the first Yoruba imam in 1624 when he was elected in Rustaq. Nasir's energy and perseverance is believed to have earned him the election. This is really hurting my head. The idea of electing someone. Wow. My problem here, right, honestly, is the American elections are supposed to be the first democracy. So what's it? It was sort of like the Lords, the Magna Carta. And I've got to work out how the Magna Carta works, King John, all this type of stuff. And all the anarchy, years of anarchy, when Queen Matilda was going to go in power and all this stuff. So the Lords, it may not have been election, but it may have been similar to the nobles electing power, which is interesting. Iman Nasir succeeded in forcing the Portuguese colonists out of Oman. The Omanis over time established a maritime empire that led to in to Zanzibar was captured by the Portuguese later on the Sultan. The Imam Oman pressed down the Swahili coast. A major obstacle to his progress was Fort Jesus, housing a garrison of Portuguese Fort Jesus? Wow! Housing a Portuguese settlement at Mombasa. After 2 years' siege, the fort fell to Saif bin Sultan in 1698. Thereafter, Omanis easily ejected the Portuguese from other African coastal regions, including Kiwa, Pemba. Saif bin Sultan occupied Bahrain in 1700. Whoa! Question. Also captured in 1720. Now, you might say, well, why is Qatar Qatar? It's basically a sandbar, you know, like a kilometre, you know, 60 or 40 kilometre thick sandbar, which goes out. I mean, wow, that's interesting. It's got 23 funguses native to it. And it's once known to have an animal, but it's gone extinct. There are in the house of Yama over the power and the death of the Imam Sultan in 1718, weakened the dynasty. With the power of the Arab dynasty, Imam Saif bin Sultan II eventually asked for help against his rivals from Nasir Nader Shah in Persia. The Persian force arrived in 1737 to aid Saif. From their base in Jaffa, the Persian forces eventually rebelled against the Yoruba in 1743. The Persian Empire then colonized Oman for a short period until 1747. This is a real proper power empire. So the Oman Empire is a really interesting missing empire. We've heard of it. Places have become sort of like hick redneck. So, perhaps what is the Arab I think UAE is sort of like the deep south of Arabia. And the probably horrible. Although you've got in the deep south, they've got sort of hatred against, you know, I hate to say niggers and all that type of thing, the Ku Klux Klan. It's almost as though the Ku Klux, the Arabic version of the Ku Klux Klan has got in charge. That's sure to upset heaps of people. Great thing. Oh, whoa! Wow! So just as a picture of the Omani Empire is like that. That's just a big empire. Like it's all the West Africa, all West, no, so all East Africa, all East Arabia, and a big slab of Iran. Now my problem here. It's just trying to work this all out. But it flips over that the Persians took it about. So this is a 1600. So this is Elizabeth is fritting around. And, Spanish are doing the Portuguese Empire was imploding for other reasons. After the decolonization of the Oman from the Persians, Ahmed bin Saad Abul Saadi in 1749 became the elected Imam of Oman. I wish I knew how the election was. With Rustaq serving as the capital since the Yaruba qualified gave him preference as a member of the ruling family. Following Imam Ahmed's death, so they have the basically sort of similar to UAD's elected system. In 1783, his son, so 1783 is getting. This is about Australia's. So 1783. Acres Australia is the first fleet. So this is just shocking. Said that Muhammad became the first defeated. Muhammad bin Said overthrew the representative of the Iman at Muscat and obtained the possessions of the Muscat fortress. Muhammad ruled Sayyid as Sayyid afterwards. Sayyid Sultan bin Ahmed, the uncle of Sayyid Ahmed, took over power. Sayyid bin Sultan succeeded Sultan bin Ahmed. There you go. Bin means that my daddy is. Sultan, my daddy is Ahmed. Refer to the word is. So I could say a few things. During the entire 19th century, this is the 18th, Ahmed, who retained the title until he died in 1803. I don't understand. It would be if he died in 1803, that's the 18th century. That, as in my daddy's Qais, was the only elected imam of Iran. His rule started in 1668, so this is when Queen Victoria the refusal played an instrumental role in deposing Iman Azen in 1871. By a sultan who Britain deemed to be more acceptable. Whoa. Oman Ibn Sultan defeated the rule of Muscat, was granted sovereignty over Ganwar, an area of modern-day Pakistan. Wow. This coastal city is located at Makran region of what is now southwestern corner of Pakistan, near the present-day border of the Ram, at the mouth of the Gulf of Oman. After regaining control of Muscat, this sovereignty was continued via appointed Wali governor, which is interesting. So you can imagine that sultans, the Muslims in India, would the British are looking for a proxy. They'd need a Muslim proxy. Sort of like that, the idea. The British de facto colonisation. The British Empire was keen to dominate the Southeast Arabia to stifle the growing power of the European states and to curb the Omani maritime power that grew in the 17th century. The British Empire over the time, starting from the 18th century, began to establish a series of treaties with the sultans with the objective of advancing British political economic interests in Muscat, while gaining the sultan's military possessions. I would love to visit Muscat, quite honestly. Wouldn't that be great? To be actually just, you know, you've got 6 months in Muscat and you know, a month you can just spend pottering around getting to know a street. I don't know, I would like to, and a bit of architecture would be great. Okay. While granting the Sultan's military protection. In 1798, the first treaty between the British East India Company and the Absul family was signed by Sultan, my daddy's Ahmed, or Sultan bin Ahmed. The treaty was to block commercial competition of the French and Dutch, as well as to obtain concession to build a British factory at Bandar Abbas. A second treaty was signed in 1800, which stipulated that the British representative shall reside at the port of Muscat and manage all external affairs with other states. The British influence that grew during the 19th century over Muscat weakened the Omani Empire. In 1854, a deed of cession of the Ahmad Kira Mura Islands to Britain was signed by the Sultan of Muscat and the British government. The British government achieved predominating control of Muscat, which, for the most part, impeded competition of other nations. Which is a bit like the Americans wanting to dominate areas. They sort of, America's offering control and support for Australia, and we sort of back them up. The word de facto Yanks. Between 1862 and 1892, Louis Pelly and Edward Ross played an instrumental role in securing British supremacy over the Persian Gulf and Muscat by a system of indirect governance. By the end of the 19th century, the British influence increased to a point the Sultan became heavily dependent on British loans and signed declarations to consult the British government on important matters. Sultanates became a de facto British colony. Oh, I wish I understood where Zanzibar was. Oh. Now you can see the Treaty of Zayib. So this is why there's a big section of the UAE which is Omani, because it's all British whatever. Zanzibar was a valuable property as the main slave market to the Swahili coast. Oh my god. And this is why I think was that the UAE was the last to get rid of slavery. And this is why Africa was important for slavery, I suppose, and became an increasingly important part of the Omani Empire, a fact reflected by decisions in the 19th century Sultan of Muscat, said Ibn Sultan. So it's not bin, it's IBM. It's like not IBM, but IBM. To make the main place of residence in 1837. Saad built impressive palaces and gardens in Zanzibar. Rivalry between his two sons was resolved with the help of forceful British diplomacy, when one of them, Majid, succeeded to the Muscat of Imam, to Muscat and Imam. Zanzibar influences in Comoros Archipelago in the Indian Ocean indirectly introduced Omani customs in the Comorian culture. Which is rather interesting, because Comoros is, I read about that, and they talked about the arrival of Islam and the different people. And so Comoros is a set of islands in the seaway between Madagascar and East Africa, and you don't have the Suez Canal, so it's a major trading route. But it's sort of like the UAE transported to this amazing place. Their other son, Thalwani, inherited Muscat and Oman. Okay. Zanzibar influences in the ocean is introduced Omani customs to the Kamarani culture. Wow. These influences include clothing traditions and wedding ceremonies. In 1856, under British direction, Zanzibar and Muscat became two different sultanates. Good on you, Britain. How does Britain have sufficient power to do all this? One doesn't know. The Treaty of Seb, S-E-E-B. The Al-Har Mountains, of which Jebel Akhtar is part, separate the country into two distinct regions, the interior known as Oman, and the coastal area dominated by the capital, Muscat. British imperial development over over Muscat and Oman during the 19th century led to a renewed revival of the Emirate cause in the interior of Oman, which appeared in cycles of more than 1,200 years in Oman. The British political agent who resided in Muscat owed the alienation of the interior of Oman to a vast influence of the British government over Muscat, which he described as being completely self-interested and without any regard to any social political conditions in the locals. In 1913, the Imam Salim Asu reinstigated the anti-Muscat rebellion and lasted until 1920, when he had no economic interest in the interior of Oman during that point of time. The treaty granted autonomous rule to the Emir in the interior of Oman and recognised the sovereignty of the coast of Oman, the Sultanate of Muscat. In 1920, Imam Salimi al-Kalsuri died and Muhammad Akizl was elected. So we have this theme that you've got internal Oman and external Oman. Wow. So you've got two Omans. There's one with the British and one where they just couldn't give a stuff. On January 1923, an agreement between the Sultanate and the British government was signed in which the Sultanate had to consult the British political agent residing in Muscat to obtain approval on the high government of India to extract oil in the Sultanate. Wow. On 31 July 1928, the Red Line Agreement was signed between the Anglo-Persian Company, later named BP, Royal Dutch Shell, Compagnie Française de Pétrole, named Total, Near East Development Corporation, later renamed ExxonMobil. What? Near East Development Corporation, ExxonMobil, the Corsair Gulbenkian and Armenian businessmen to collectively produce oil in the post-Ottoman Empire region, which included the Arabian Peninsula, with each of the four major companies holding 23.75% of the shares, while Kulus Gulbenkian held the remaining 5%. So he's the businessman. The agreement stipulated that none of the signatories were allowed to pursue the establishment of oil concessions within the agreed area, on which, without all including all stakeholders. In 1929, the members of the agreement established the Iraq Petroleum Company, IPC. On 13th of November 1931, Sultan Tamir bin Faisal abdicated. So Faisal is the, you know, what the heck, but I had a actually, someone I know who's named Faisal, who operates a robotics company in the States. There you go. It's a pretty weird robotics company. The reign of Sultan Said bin Tamir became Sultan of Muscat officially on the 10th of February 1932. The rule of Sultan Said bin Tamir, who is backed by the British government, was characterised as being feudal, reactionary and isolationist. Well, got the triple threat. The British government maintained a vast administrative control of the Sultanate as the Defence Secretary and Chief of Intelligence, Chief Advisor to the Sultan, and all ministers except one were British. In 1937, how does Britain do it all? An agreement between the Sultan and the Iraq Petroleum Company, a consortium of oil companies that was largely British-owned, was signed to grant oil concession to IPC after failing to discover oil in the Sultanate. The IPC was intensely interested in some promising geological formations in Fahd, an area located within the emirate. IPC offered financial support to the Sultan to raise an armed force against any potential resistance by the Imamate. Wow. In 1955, the Exclave Coastal Marketing Group acceded to Pakistan, was made a district of the Balkh province, while Galway remained in Oman. Wow. What? There's a part of Oman in Africa? It's in next page. Pakistan purchased Garhwa enclave from Oman for $3 million. Garhwa then became the Tensil Makran district. So, oh, this is so hard. So, where physically is that? Wow. Sultan Said bin Tamir ruled from 1932 to 1970. Sultan Said bin Tamir expressed his interest to the British government in occupying the emirate right after his death of Imam Akil Ali, and to take advantage of the potential instability that may occur within the emirate when the elections were due. The British political agent in Muscat believed that the only method of gaining access to the oil reserve in the interior was by assisting the Sultan in taking over the emirate. In 1946, the British government offered arms and ammunition, auxiliary supplies and officers to prepare the Sultan to attack the interior of Oman. Wow, far out. In 1954, Imam Akil died and Ghalib Alani became the elected Imam of the Emirate of Oman. Relations between the Sultan and the Muscat said, my dad is Tamir, and Imam Ghalib Alani frayed over their dispute about oil concessions. Under the terms of the 1920s, Treaty of Sebes, the Sultan, backed by the British government, claimed all dealings with the oil company as his prerogative. The Imam, on the other hand, claimed that since the oil was in Emirate territory, anything concerning it was an internal matter. In December 55, Sultan Said bin Tamir sent troops off the Muscat and Oman field force to occupy the main centres in Oman, including Nizwa, the capital of the Emirate of Oman, and Ibra. The Omanis in the interior, led by Imam Ghalib Ali, Talib Ali I, and brother of the Imam and Wali, governor of Rostock, and Selabadad is Hamim, who was the governor of Jebel Akhna, defended the Emirate of Oman, and the Jebel Akhna war against the British-backed attacks by the Sultanate.
Wow! 1955, my godfather, what the heck's going on? I knew nothing of this.
In July 75, the Sultan's forces were withdrawing, but were repeatedly ambushed, sustaining heavy casualties. Sultan Said, however, with the intervention of British infantry, two companies of Cameronians.
What?
So this is Camorus. These are from the little islands. Armoured car detachments from the British Army and RAF aircraft were able to suppress the rebellion. The Emirate forces retreated to the inaccessible Jebel Akhdar. So this is amazing for me, because I've read about these Cameronian islands, and these are the most stupid islands I've ever come across. Colonel David Smiley, who had been seconded to organise the Sultan's armed forces, managed to isolate the mountains in 1958 and found a route to the plateau of Wadi Balkoros. On the 5th of August 1957, the British Foreign Secretary gave approval to carry out airstrikes without prior warning to the locals residing in the interior of Oman. Between July and December 1958, British RAF made 1,635 raids, dropping 1,094 tons and firing 900 rockets at the interior of Oman, targeting insurgents, mountaintop villages, water channels, and crops. Far out! On the 25th of January 1959, the Sultanate's forces occupied the mountains in a surprise operation. Ghalib Tarib Sultanuman managed to escape to Saudi Arabia, where the Inuit's cause was promoted until the 1970s. The interior of Oman presented the case of Oman, the Arab League of Nations. On the 11th of December 1963, the UN General Assembly decided to establish the Ad Hoc Committee on Oman to study the question of Oman and report back to the General Assembly. The UN Assembly adopted the question of Oman resolution 1965 and 66 and again in 67 and called for the British government to cease repressive action against the locals, end British control over Oman, and reaffirmed the inalienable right of the Armenian people to self-determination and independence. Well, you can sort of say I wasn't expecting this. I was, you know, it's probably, I hate to say it, not a blessing in disguise, but at least they're fighting the British rather than fighting themselves. My gosh. The Duffa Rebellion. Oil reserves in Duffa was discovered in 64, extraction being in 1967. The Duffa Rebellion began in 65. Pro-Soviet forces were pitted against the government troops. As the rebellion threatened the Sultan's control of Duffa, Sultan Said bin Tamir was disposed in a bold coup in 1970 by his son Qubus bin Said. So, Sultan... Oh, yes, yeah, so but he would be... Sultan Said bin Tamir, so he will be Qubus, my dad is Said, my dad is Tamir, who expanded the Sultan's Omani's armed forces and modernised the state's administration and the introduction of social reforms. The outright was finally put down in 75 with the help of forces from Iran, Jordan, Pakistan, the Royal Air Force, the Army and Special Air Service.
Far out. God, what a bloody horrible time.
The reign of Sultan Qubus from 70 to 20, 50 years reign. After deposing his father in 1970, Sultan Qubus opened up the country, embarked in economic reforms, and followed the policy of modernization marked by increased spending Education, welfare. Slavery, once a cornerstone of the country's trade and development, was outlawed in 1970. I just... In 1981, Oman became the founding member of the Six Nation Gulf Cooperation Council. Political reforms eventually introduced. Historically, voters had been chosen from amongst the tribal leaders, intellectual and businessmen. In 1997, Sultan Qaboos decreed that women could vote for and stand for election too. When Marjis Salsula, the Consultative Assembly of Oman, two women were duly elected to the body. So what I understand, he's still the Sultan, but he's... the suffrage has gone from intellectuals and businessmen. In 2002, voting rights were extended to all citizens over the age of 21, and the first elections to the Consultative Assembly under the new rules were held in 2003. In 2004, the Sultan opened Oman's first female minister portfolio, Shika Ashi Bint. Now, Bint would be a female version of Bin. Bint. Isn't that lovely? Bint would be my daddy's name is Kaflan Obat. Kaflan Bin. So Shika, Ashlia, Bint, Kafna, but his daddy's Jamil Elch, whatever it is. She was appointed to the post of the National Authority for Industrial Craftsmanship, an office which attempts to preserve and promote Oman traditional crafts and stimulate industry. Despite these changes, there was little change to the actual political makeup of the government. Sultan continued to rule by decree, and nearly 100 suspected Islamists were arrested in 2005. 300 people were convicted of trying to overthrow the government. They were ultimately pardoned in June the same year. That's okay. Inspired by the Arab Spring uprising taking place throughout the region, protests occurred in Oman during the early months of 2011. Although they did not call for the ousting of the regime, demonstrators demanded political reforms, improved living conditions, creation of more jobs. And they were dispersed by riot police in February 2011. Oh, thank goodness, Sultan Qaboos, Qaboos, reacted by promising jobs and benefits. In October 2011, elections were held to the Consultative Assembly, to which Sultan Qaboos promised greater powers. The following years, the government began to crack down on internet criticism. Oh my God, Father. In September 2012, trials began of activists accused of positing abusive and provocative criticism of the government online. 6 were given jail terms of 12 to 18 months and fines of $2,500 each. Qaboos died on the 10th of January 2020, and the government declared 3 days of national mourning. He was buried the next day. Well, presumably during the national mourning. So that's six. Next page here. On January 11th, Qaboos was succeeded by his first cousin, Sultan Hatem bin Taqi Al Said. Geography. Oman lies between latitudes 52 and 63. And this is going into Egypt. Going up to Aswan. It's absolutely vast as a mile. With mountain ranges along the Al Har Mountains and southeast Qad or Jaffa Mountains. Where the country's main cities are located. They have Muscat, Suba, Sur in the north, and Sahara in the south. Climate's along the coast. During past epochs, Oman was covered by oceans, influenced by large numbers of fossilized shells found on areas of desert away from modern coastline. The peninsula of Musandam, which is strategically located on the Strait of Bahama, separated the rest of Oman known collectively as Dibba. The gateway to Musandam Peninsula on fishing villages in Musandam by so you can Masjid is halfway between Muslim Peninsula and the main body of Oman. It is part of the Muslim government, approximately 75 square kilometres. Muslim boundaries list was settled in 1969, with the north-east corner of Masjid early with Mahad exclave, is UAE in the exclave, another enclave, and Nawa, belonging to the Emirate of Shah Jawat, 8 kilometres along the dirt track, known as New Mata, and consisting of about 40 houses, with a clinic and telephone exchange. I think it's actually called Old Mata, and New Mata is the actual... The central desert of Oman is an important source of meteorites for scientific analysis. Well, that's because nothing happens and it sticks out, similar to meteorites falling in on the snow in Antarctica, stick out like dog's balls. Okay, I'll finish that off at the moment. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.